In China, there seems to be little competition of viewers' attention for the televised Lunar New Year gala. But for the New Year's Eve gala, the competition for viewers' eyeballs is fierce. This year, four major provincial satellite TV stations joined the race of hosting the most watched and talked about New Year's Eve gala. Who's the winner and for what reason? So yeah, I don't know what you guys were doing, but I had a bit of a sad life this year. At the very beginning, as I was actually watching TV, I wasn't out and about with friends. I was with family and watched TV, so it shouldn't be that sad. And I surfed through the channels. A lot is going on. What about you guys? Did you get a chance to catch some of it?
I personally didn't watch any of it. I was
Aw, too
just
cool for us.
no, not too cool for you. But it's just that I prefer reading a book. So I was actually reading a book on New
How
Year's
do you
Eve.
do
So
that?
academic, doesn't.
Yeah.
No. It was a novel. So it has nothing to do with me studying or, doing research. It was just for
So
fun.
you're enjoying reading the novel. That's fine.
What
That's
about
okay.
you,
That's
Bob?
Oh, I was such a sad person because I'm in the middle of doing getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning every day. So
Oh,
even
you
though
are
it was
such a trooper in
even when it's a
doing
weekend,
that.
it's still I still wake up at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. So by the time I get to, did I wait up? I was trying to work out where my friends were in the world and trying to work out when it was midnight for them, and then I would get in touch with them, or I'd
Yes.
Skype them, or I'd FaceTime them or something.
Yes.
So so I was probably awake for about 24 hours, but I don't actually remember midnight in Beijing.
Okay. And I have to say, you're such a champion in managing to do all of that. And, being on a morning show called the Beijing Hour, and also being on Roundtable, like at noontime. So, yes, what a trooper.
Yeah,
What
just getting to the edge of the limits just now. So
Aww.
if you hear the snoring coming from the little mice in the corner, then
And
you know what's going on.
that's okay. You can take a
Oh, that's fine.
snooze, and
But
then we'll just continue talking and give
do you
you a
know,
little
year
bit of
after year
rest.
after year, before we get into talking about these TV shows, I find it enormously disappointing, New Year's Eve, because I think it's one of those things where everybody. A lot of people just really want to get rid of the old year. So there's part of it is a bit being negative. And then there's another part of it of people being hopeful and wanting to get on with the new year that's coming up, 2017, woo. And then you have to go through this process of almost like waiting for this moment. And then the moment comes. And it is a moment. It's 1 second when it goes from one year to the next. And then that's it. And you're all just standing there thinking, right. Okay, so we are now in a new year. What do we do now?
So maybe it's that anticipation and the fact that it is actually just 1 second as you go from the old year into the new one, and then you need this background noise, or you
You do
need
need something to keep you awake.
occupied.
And I think that's where these TV shows come in. You need something to entertain you. But then, as you say, it looks as though there was quite a lot of choice this time round.
Yes, a
So
lot of choice.
how do you make the choice?
Well, I guess for one thing, like He Yang has been saying over and over, you can just watch those New Year's Eve gala shows on satellite TV stations. But I have to say, I'm not terribly sure this year would be a fair competition because we all know that Hunan TV is undoubtedly the number one player in this field. They have
In the
been.
past.
In the past, right. They have been leading this race for more than a decade, and this year they chose not to be part of this competition. And also, strangely enough, Zhejiang TV was not playing this game either, because in the past, they have been in the second position for quite a long time. You would think that with Hunan TV out of the race, they can finally claim that coveted number one spot, but for some reason, they decided to skip it on the 31st. They actually did it on 30th, so they were not actually on 31st either. So we have four or five different provincial TV stations actually airing that show on that day, but not Hunan TV, not Zhejiang TV. So as far as I'm concerned, this competition is kind of whack.
Ooh, you sound like you're a big supporter for those the two major TV stations that used to, lead the race but not participating this time. As I would see it differently because I actually think this shows that maybe the older players in the game have sort of waned their popularity to some extent, as I think the newcomers here being, I think, the Jiangsu satellite TV station and also a couple of others, they did really well. And I was really impressed by the stage design that was presented by Jiangsu satellite TV.
And also Sichuan satellite TV.
Yeah, but the Sichuan one, okay, this is just according to my own taste, so, you know, it doesn't represent a lot of people, but some of it was kind of tacky. And but for Jiangsu satellite TV, I think they put down a lot of money into making it as grand as possible. And they made the stage that you can see from every direction, and there's new technology being used, AR or VR technology being used, and you can see some pretty dramatic spectacle that I did not expect from a TV broadcast concert almost. So I think these provincial TV stations are really trying very hard to... What are they doing here, though?
Can I just jump in? That you have said just now made me realize you didn't watch any of these programs from start to finish, did you? You were channel hopping from one to the other.
I was surfing the channels, so, yes. I do not want to commit easily.
So you were being professional, weren't you? You were wanting to check each of them to see what the stages were like, what kind of guests they had, you know, who's singing, who's not singing, who's really singing, who's really not singing.
Oh, dear Bob Jones, you... You know me so well.
You've been rumbled. Sorry.
Well, you caught me there. I'm being so super professional. When I was watching all the spectacle, I was thinking, this would be a wonderful roundtable discussion topic as we come back from our vacation.
Oh, so you really were being professional. I thought it was just him putting a spin there.
Well, you know.
No, she's just trying to wriggle out of it. That's it. You were just channel hopping. You were just waiting to see. Well, actually, what were you looking for? If you wanted to watch a show like this, is it that you want to see good music? Is it that you want to see comedy? Is it that you want to see... what are you looking for? What made you stop going from one channel to the other?
That's a really good question, as I think that is probably what all these TV stations are trying to figure out, what their audience is looking for. And usually, if we look at history, if it can teach us anything, it's been... If you have a star-studded event, then yes, you will get to viewership. And now I think it's not that simple, because like Liu Yan has said, that this is turning into a tradition of a decade in China now, that for the Spring Festival, it's the CCTV gala, and for the New Year's, it's all these provincial TV stations in a way demonstrating how much money they have and how much influence they have. And I suspect that they're doing this also to cement their prestige for the next year. And the latest reports actually say that these TV stations aren't really...
making money.
Making much of a profit. So I've been wondering, why are these TV stations still so determined in putting in so much investment and effort and trying to make a lot of noise on this first day into the new year?
Okay, my personal theory, it might not be scientific, but my personal theory is that most Chinese people have this deeply rooted belief that if you have a good start, then that's half the success. So this is obviously the battle number one as far as those provincial TV stations are concerned. So they want to win this battle, and that would set a good tone for the entire year. And if you can claim number one right from the first day, and then you can probably say, see, we are the major player here, and you guys got nothing on me.
Oh, interesting. And also, I think these TV stations probably try to establish what they're about, like their own style to some extent, or maybe they're just using whatever resource they have at hand, like the Beijing TV New Year's Eve gala.
They had the water cube, didn't they?
They did, and they managed to get a very... multicultural kind of
sophisticated
cast.
Kind of thing they were trying to do?
I think they were aiming very high and delivering kind of low.
Oh. I rather like the Sichuan TV's Panda Stage.
Yes.
That's more my kind of program.
Is it because it's a panda?
Yes.
And the panda wasn't all that pretty either.
No.
Oh, well, listen to me. It's not so positive on the first day of our live show in the new year.
Actually, I don't think it has much to do with being positive or not. I just think earlier, Bob asked the good question, which is, what makes you stop? What makes you decide, okay, this is the channel I'm going to stick with? So from maybe the stage design point of view, Sichuan TV's gala is not that impressive. But as far as the theme is concerned, I think they surely know what they are good at, and they surely know what kind of resources they have. So that's why they made a smart decision, because you see, they went with local elements, not just pandas, but also Sichuan tea, hot pot, Emei Mountain, and Sichuan embroidery. So if you watch this show, not only will you be interested in the performances, then you can also sort of get a history lesson and also a cultural lesson as far as Sichuan is concerned. So it's, in a sense, they're not just doing for their own TV station. They're also doing for the Sichuan province. Isn't that smart?
Yeah, well, definitely. If it's a local TV satellite station, then of course it wants to represent that province and wants to stand out. And how can you stand out? What's the differentiating point? That must be what's special about your province and what kind of resources you can pull. And I've seen that for some of these TV stations, such as Dongfang Weishi, so that is the Shanghai local satellite TV station, they advertise that I call her the diva of all divas, Fei Wang or Wang Fei. They managed, well, she just finished her concert in Shanghai on December the 30th. So I thought maybe they managed to secure her for a couple more days to invite her to be on their gala. But it turned out that it was just a recording. So that was super
disappointing,
I think. But I think, yes, all of these TV stations are just trying their best to grab the eyeballs. And to sort of answer the question from you guys earlier, I think it's just a little bit probably impossible these days to make the viewer to stick with one channel, because none of them deserves all of my attention.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. Oh, that's...
Actually, I agree with that 100%.
Are we just huge egoists? Yeah, we rule our little world. And yes, when you look at real life, what else can you rule? So yes, I want to be in control of what channel I'm watching. And it seems like there's different choices. And I think our appetite has been fed into a bigger one. And also, it's kind of difficult to satisfy us now.
I'm just wondering if I can internationalize this.
Yes,
ever so slightly, sorry, being the international one. I was looking at the ratings that we've got here. I can't really fully understand them because they're in percentage terms. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether those figures mean that a lot of people watch these programs. But certainly in the UK, most people don't tend to watch television in the run-up to the new year, but they do want to see Big Ben strike. And apparently, according to the figures on British television, everybody wanted to watch the fireworks. But I think more people watched the fireworks that went on for 10 minutes than watched the Queen's speech on Christmas Day. So obviously, you don't have to have a show like this with lots of, you know, amazing singers and divas and whatever. You can actually just have a lot of fireworks for 10 minutes and people would be quite happy.
That's interesting, as I think it's a completely different way of playing with this concept of the New Year's. And yes, I actually happen to be at one of these fireworks demonstrations or presentations, whatever you call it.
Display,
yes, that's probably a better word, just along River Thames a couple of years ago. And I have to say, it is a fabulous, fabulous event. And
it's something that only really happened since the millennium. Before that, it didn't really happen. And then suddenly we fell in love with fireworks. And ever since then, it's got bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's one of those amazing displays. But you know, when you watch the news and they say New Year has been celebrated around the world, it's always fireworks, isn't it? In Sydney, they always have fireworks over the Sydney Bridge. In London, it's fireworks. I was going to say that happens in America, but I don't think it does it? They have
the Times
Square.
Uh-huh. And also for the United States, I think fireworks are usually just reserved for 4th of July. I don't think it's, seen all that common on New Year's Day.
Yes, and I would say ban the fireworks in Beijing, at least, or many places in China. Considering the smog, we cannot have that luxury to have fireworks. So just for, 10 minutes of prettiness, and then the air gets even worse? Oh, okay, I cannot stand that. But it's very interesting that this year, talking about the ball drop and, what other people are doing across the world to welcome the new year, Mariah Carey had this...
Oh, poor old Mariah Carey.
Yes, and that... Okay, what happened there?
Well, she, as I understand it, she was supposed to be performing... they have a little show, and they have various people who perform in the run-up to this this ball, this crystal ball made in Ireland, I think, this time, fell. And that marks the start of the new year. And I think Ban Ki-moon was the person who triggered it off, the outgoing UN Secretary General. He was the one who triggered it off. Anyway, Mariah Carey started performing, and it became very, very clear that actually she was lip-syncing. She wasn't actually singing, that there was supposed to be a backing track, and it didn't come on, or she couldn't hear it, or she it just didn't work. And it just looked appalling. And I think by the second song, I think she more or less decided this is not going to work. And so she just pretended to say, right, everybody, let's make this some community singing. Let's get everybody singing one of my songs sort of thing to cover the fact that she wasn't lip-syncing. So I don't know. My personal feeling is, if I was sent out to sing on such an amazing occasion like that, I wouldn't want it to go wrong. So I don't mind. I would record it. I would be straight there with lip syncing. I would, not that I can sing, and don't ever ask me to, but that's what I would do. So I feel very sorry for her on this, but I know a lot of people, she came in for so much criticism.
Yes, and that has been world news today, this morning, actually. And that's interesting, as we've seen... a similar but slightly different kind of look on lip syncing in China, as this year, with all these TV galas that's been going on New Year's Eve, a lot of people have actually been saying that, ooh, some of these singers sing so poorly, but hooray, they're singing!
They are not recording
mm-hmm. something and playing out for us.
Can I ask a question here? Because I saw something somewhere that said that lip syncing is banned in China. Is that true?
That is true, actually, since 2008.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you get caught twice within a 2-year period, then,
are there lip-syncing police who stand next to you while you're singing and say, you're lip-syncing?
Yeah, but I think in a way, maybe that's necessary. In a way, maybe. I wonder what
only given the fact that it's so rampant, maybe it's necessary. If it's not that rampant, I actually lean toward Bob's stance, which is, personally, I think it's acceptable to some extent. I can understand a lot of people's anger. Like, I paid good money. I want to see you perform live. How dare you actually lie to me? Because this, in essence, is lying. However, a lot of people also say that, especially with those pop singers who tend to dance as well, if you do not allow lip syncing at all, then there's just
no show.
There's just no show. And also, it's going to be like car wreck scenes all over. So it's no fun at all. So a lot of people actually would rather see
and
tape
shows. If I went to a show or a concert, I would want to hear my favorite people singing the way that I have heard them on my CD player or my phone or something.
Yes.
I don't want to go there and suddenly think, oh, they can't sing.
Like,
that's interesting.
Bursting your bubble.
Yeah,
but
totally.
A lot of people are saying that, okay, maybe for a avid fan, for a fan that just loves this idol to the core, maybe they want to maintain their idol or, that huge celebrity's image in their hearts. And, I'm thinking about Fei Wong again.
Back to Fei Wong. It always comes back to Fei Wong, doesn't
it? Well, considering that recently she just held a concert in 6 years, and
did you go?
I was watching it online.
Can't
and
have been
I was
that much
with,
of a fan if you weren't there.
Well, yeah, I'm not one of those crazy ones, I guess.
Okay.
And
let
I was off. With another 20 million people who are watching her online, so she's huge. But yeah, and here comes the part that I think it might be the ambivalence of the attitude towards lip syncing. That is, with Fei Wong, 10 years ago, or, you know, when she first shot into fame. Yeah, she was a huge singer. She's so good. She's talented. I think she's one of the really, she's one of the chosen ones. God gave her that gift of being able to not really belt it, but to sing her heart out, to really depict the intricacies of relationships and emotion,
yeah, but
and all that.
It isn't just about singing, is it? It's about the performance and putting it across to people and connecting with.
Is it, though?
I think so. In a way, I'm making too much, I think, about wanting to hear people as they are on a CD, when, in fact, part of why you like a performer is because they connect with you. So what is it about that performer that can somehow find that magic connection? And it's not always maybe the sound that they make, it may be something else.
That's true. And that's also what I find really interesting, because for a lot of rock artists, maybe you definitely want to experience that kind of, you know, enthusiastic atmosphere. But when it comes to Fei Wang, like, she doesn't really do dance numbers, and she doesn't really do all those like quick tempoed songs. So I don't know why it's necessary for her to lip sync.
But she did not lip sync. The whole point is that she did not lip sync, and then it was a major disappointment for so many of us that probably, you know, with Fei Wang in our hearts, she only exists in the CD player now. And that is the part that I think, in the one hand, you're like, yes, I appreciate that you're telling us the truth, but on the other hand, it's a bit like a bubble burst, and well, sometimes you just have to bite the cold reality. You're listening to Roundtable.